people walking down the street, or we see people on Sunday mornings, Lord, what they're going through and what they're thinking, Lord. Today, God, I ask you to meet these needs, Father. Whatever their hurt is, whatever their problem is, if it's an addiction, whatever it is, Lord, you already know. Today, God, I ask you to change their hearts that they may see, Lord, that you're in control of all situations, Lord, and everything that goes on, Lord. We trust you today, God. We worry about things today, God, that we ought not be worrying about, like things that's going on in this country and things that are going on in our world, Lord. It don't matter who's up there in that White House, Lord. It don't matter who's running this country, God. Jesus is the King. We trust you today, Lord. Take control of this situation this morning with all these folks. Take control of our country and all our world leaders, Lord. We love you today. Ask you to bless those soldiers today, those firefighters, all those police officers today, Lord. All those doctors and nurses, school teachers, Lord. All those standing in the front line carrying your word across the world today, God. I ask your blessings over them, Lord. Walk before them in Jesus' name. Everybody at Bull Creek said?
Amen.
Amen. You know, me and Debbie, we talked about building a house for the last 30 years, and we still ain't built one. And I just, every time I look at that, and I'm like, that's a lot of money, so we just keep living where we're living. Now, our roof don't leak. Our air conditioner's working. The heater works. And all the water comes on when I get ready to take a shower. And I'm thankful. So this morning, Clyde was telling me the roof blowed off of his house. Some of his roof blowed off his house. Well, let me tell you a way to look at that, okay? You raised your hand this morning. Glad I got a roof, Clyde. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer? That hurts, don't it? You know what? A lot of times when I hit that thumb with a hammer, ain't no telling what I'm gonna say, Lance. But you know what? Next time you hit your thumb with a hammer, thank God you got a thumb.
Amen.
Man, I'm thankful I got a thumb I hit. Tell y'all today, I got a mansion. I've been singing this song since I was a little boy. So everybody knows this song. Who don't know Mansion Over the Hilltop? Anybody don't know this song? That's okay. Anybody don't know this song? So everybody here knows Mansion Over the Hilltop. Is that right? I'm going to expect every one of y'all to sing. Because look here, if you ain't singing, I'm going to punch you out. Because you just said you know it. All right, y'all sing with us. Mansion Over the Hilltop. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want to go one that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. But someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that our purest soul. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that our purest gold. thing me poor heart, deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm but a cowboy in search of a city. I want a ranch house, a horse and a cow, my goodness. Hey, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder I'll never more wonder, but walk on streets that are purest gold. Let's sing that again. Oh, I've got a mansion, yes I do, it's just over the hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wonder, but walk on streets that are purest gold. Yeah, we'll walk on streets that are purest gold. Amen. Thank you.
This mighty rocky ride, this road that I'm traveling, don't know where it's going, but I don't mind. As long as I've got Jesus right to shine right beside me, I know I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna keep on trying. When the flag is up, the race is on, tires are burning and I'm long gone. Picket is split, got a one-way avenue. We're headed for the finish line, just me and you. Roadblocks up ahead, I knew they'd be coming. Ain't no big deal for a stepper like me. You give me something that's better than cool. It's your high-octane love breaking me through. Well, the flag is up, the race is on, tires are burning and I'm long gone. Picket is split down the one-way avenue. When we're headed for the finish line, just me and you. Flag is up, the race is on, tires are burning and I'm long gone. Ticket is split down a one-way avenue. Well, we're headed for the finish line, just me and you. Just me and you, Lord. Just me and you, Lord.
Last night, me and Deb, we stopped and eat over at Taco Cabana.
Yeah. Go ahead, Peggy.
Taco Cabana.
She's singing this morning. But we sitting there eating, and I got to talking to this black feller, and he started talking about design appointments, and I asked him, I said, well, you know about design appointments? And it seemed like this guy, every time he would think, I would think something, he would say it. And it was like, Debbie said, I can't hardly understand him. I said, well, you can't hardly understand me either, usually. So What's the difference? But a design appointment that I had a chance to talk to this black guy, and we started talking about politics, and I'm not going to go there, Deb. I don't want to talk about politics, okay? Mm-hmm. I just know where Audie stands. And so. But anyway, we got talking about racism, and an old black boy and an old white cowboy talking about racism. And this guy looked at me, and I'm thinking the same thing, and he said it. He said, you know, God is the maker of us all. Amen. And I thought, it's amazing you say that, because that's what we're singing about this morning. No matter what color you are this morning, no matter where you've been this morning, remember that, okay? What counts is where we're going from this day. I'm still breathing today. I still got a chance to do the right thing today. We all got something in common this morning. Courtney, you know what it is? God's a maker of us all.
Amen.
That sounds country, don't it? The rich and the poor, they got this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The bomb and the fast car, the guitar-picking rock star, the Lord is the maker of them all. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows when the sparrow flies, when the sparrow falls, the quiet and the loud, the humble and the proud, the Lord is the maker of them all. The lost and the found, they got this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The hands that have to fight, the hands that pray for peace at night, the Lord is the maker of them all. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows when the sparrow flies, and when the sparrow the losers and the shakers, the Lord is the maker of them all. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows when the sparrow flies, and when the sparrow falls, the blacks and the whites, the Lord is the maker of them all. The losers and the winners, the saints and the sinners, that's right, the Lord is the maker of us all. I don't know if Patty picked this song this week, or I don't remember how we got to singing this song. We're going to sing, but I used to go to a church, and there was a guy there that sang a song, and I never would let me sing it because he sang it. So, oh, Ronnie Kaysen, Deb, you remember Ronnie, and he got cancer, and he passed away, and every time I sing this song, I think of him. He's in heaven. I'm going to get to see him again one of these days, but it's called The Old Man Is Dead. Tommy? You'll be able to relate to this song, my brother. Now and then an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, where you been? It's on your mind. They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus and that old man is dead. And this man you see before you, I may look a lot the same, And I may wear these same clothes and have that same old name. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause that old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life, had no hopes in sight, blinded by the darkness, searching for the light. And then one day in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus. Now that old man is dead. In this man you see before you, I may look a lot the same. And I may wear these same clothes and have that same old name. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause that old man is. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause that old man is dead. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everybody. How are you all? Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, if anybody's interested in, I hope you are, in reading Scripture, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. You can read one a day. I call it a spiritual vitamin, and it would sure help a lot. So if you haven't read the book of Proverbs, just read a chapter a day, and I think it'll give a lot of insight to you. I know it has in my life. Today we're going to be talking about complete surrender. Complete surrender. Now, for most of us, when you think of surrender, we think of it in a negative way, right? If we're playing cops and robbers and somebody has to surrender or whatever, we think that to surrender is weak. But until we realize that we're playing on the wrong team most of the time in our selfishness and sinfulness, that our job now is to lay down our arms for the enemy and surrender to the Lord. Amen? And so a few weeks ago we talked at Easter, we talked that Jesus in fact did come back to life. And after that we talked about what was he like after his resurrection. And then the next week we talked about the Great Commission, that we're called to go out and to preach and teach the good news to the whole world. Of course, last week, Mother's Day. But in light of his resurrection, in light of his resurrection, how are we to respond? And I think the title of this message says it all, complete surrender. So let me ask you today, are you in complete surrender to God? I know I've probably used this illustration before. Meant to this morning, but forgot. It's kind of like the guy that said he was going to be roommates with the Lord. And so the Lord said, well, I'll be over there in the morning at 7 o'clock to begin moving in. So he says, well, I leave around that time for work. So the next morning, the Lord showed up, and he says, well, make yourself at home. I'll see you when I get in tonight, and glad to have you. So anyway, the guy comes back in from work, and he goes into the living room, and he sees pretty much what it was, but he sees a few new pictures on the wall, and he goes into the kitchen, and he sees some new food in the fridge, and says, that's cool. I'm glad he's making himself at home. Then he's walking down to the master bedroom. He passes the guest bedroom, and he sees all his stuff in the guest bedroom, or the second bedroom. And then he walks into what was his master bedroom, and all of a sudden he sees Jesus laying in the bed, taking a nap. He wakes the Lord up, and he says, "What are you doing? This is my room." He goes, Jesus says, "Well, I thought this was the master bedroom, and I thought being the master, it would be appropriate to be here." And the guy said, "Well, I see you've moved my stuff. Did you by chance look at the top of the closet?" "Yes, and we're going to have a little discussion about that later," the Lord said. "Did you look under the bed?" "Yes." And he was very unnerved about this new living situation. But don't we do that in our life as well? We like the Lord to come in and take residence in the areas of our life that we're okay with, but the areas that we're not so okay with, we kind of put up some stiff boundaries. Jesus didn't come to be the Lord of half of our life. He came to be the Lord of all of our life. Amen? And we love Jesus as Savior, and we love to call him Savior. Oh, he's my Savior. But to be our Savior, he must first be our what? Our Lord. So today we're going to talk about that. Today's message is simple, but it's a message that's hard for us to daily accept and live out. We're going to go through this famous passage in the book of Proverbs line by line and consider what it means to be completely surrendered to the Lord. Now, many of us can talk the Christian lingo, and if you do, please keep it to yourself. Because as a pastor, when I come into church into churches, sometimes, I just want to say, for the last 10 years, I've learned to read people pretty good. You kind of get the hang of it as a counselor. And people will come up and they tell you all this, bless you and sweetening. And I feel like sometimes I've been riddled with biblical verses at the end of the time I leave the services. Because people are coming up and I hear all the Sunday school stuff. I want to hear your heart. I want to hear your heart and where you're at and what you're going through, whether it sounds Christian or not. Amen? I want to hear your heart. What we need in the church, period, but particularly in the American church, is authenticity. We need authenticity. And sometimes I run across Christians, and I've said this before, it looks like Lifeway threw up on them, right? I mean, they got all the Christian gear and all that. I'm not so interested in what you wear. I'm interested in what's on the inside. Amen? I'm interested in what's on the inside. And that's what we've got to focus on and what complete surrender is. Because, you know, it's interesting how we can switch gears and have different compartments. We come here at a service like this and we put on our Christian mask, right? But then the rest of the week we're somebody else. Is that you this morning? Let me just say, don't do that. Be who you are, where you are, and allow the Lord to change you. Because we're all a work in progress. Amen? I mean, we're all a work in progress. And what a novel idea to come to a place like this and actually be honest, amen? Be honest where you are. This week I saw a video on Facebook where a guy was changing a spare tire, and he made the analogy that we often treat God like a spare tire. We don't often engage him until we need him. And how many of us have ever had a flat and we didn't check our spare tire before the trip, and guess what? Our spare was flat too. Anybody been there? And let the cussing and fussing begin, right? But the truth of it is, we often treat God just like a spare tire. We stick him on the trailer neck or underneath where he's hidden away, tucked away in our lives, where no one can see him, and we only pull him out when we need him, when life is in a bind. Anybody relate to that in your life regarding your relationship with God? Now, I don't expect everybody to go, amen, brother, right? But it's a fact. It's a fact. That's how many of us Christians live. Let's look to Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones." And God's people said, the first thing is trust with all your heart. Notice it says all. Now, not to try to antagonize you or anything, but what does the word all mean? It doesn't mean 50%, does it? It doesn't even mean 99.9%. It means all. Now, if I were to ask the question, are you trusting the Lord? And I would hear a lot of times people go, oh, amen, brother, preach it, right? But the truth of it is, We're all a work in progress. No one trusts God with all our heart. But that's the mandate. Now, I've said that before, and I've had people come up there and just want to get all in my business. Well, I trust the Lord with all my heart. I guarantee in 5 minutes I can expose you. Call it a spiritual gift, I don't know. But none of us trust God with all our heart, because some of us are still trusting who? Ourselves. But the mandate is to trust the Lord with all our heart. Notice, it brings up the question of trust. What does it mean to trust? Well, being the scholar I am, I got the dictionary out. It says this: believe in the reliability, the truth, or the ability of. Have the confidence to allow someone to have, use, or look after. I like that, don't you? To commit someone or something to the safekeeping of. Place reliance on. Let me ask you, are you placing your reliance on Christ? Now, I got to be honest with you, and I've said this before, when I was considering in making a move in my own life, and this was going to be a full-time position, I had some reluctance about that, because I've dealt with Christians in churches before. Not to judge you guys, but I know how it can go down. And that scared the living fire out of me, to be honest with you. Because up to now, I mean, like I said, for the last 10 years, my main job was working in a treatment center. I pastored bivocationally. That means that it's considered part-time, but pastoring is never a part-time gig, because you never clock in and you never clock out. But I was really, really reluctant, because I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. And I don't know about you, but when that depends on people sometimes, that's a scary thing. And so that was the real pause. And I had to come to this verse right here and say, God, if this is what you want and this is where you want me to be, help me to trust you. Do you remember that passage where the guy comes to Jesus and he says, do you believe? He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's a prayer we all should pray pretty often. Help my unbelief. Because God sometimes calls us to put all the eggs in one basket so that we learn to trust Him. To place the weight on Him. And the decision to come here was because I trust Him and I'm learning to trust you. Does that make sense? I trust Him. To trust means to be vulnerable, and dadgummit, that scares the living fire out of me too. Does vulnerability spook you? Some of us hadn't been vulnerable in so long, we don't even know what that means. It means to open our hearts up to a place where we could possibly be hurt again. Anybody find that a warm and fuzzy? I don't. But the truth of it is, to trust means to be vulnerable. It means to place the weight of our existence, our life, into the hands of another. Trust isn't easy if we've ever been hurt before, and anybody in here can talk about how they've been hurt before. But catch this, and this is something I have to remind myself of. I'm really preaching to myself today. I hope you get something out of it. We have to learn to trust the object of our faith, not the experience of our past. We have to learn to trust the object of our faith, not the experience of our past. Amen? Because if we judge our future by our past, we've already set the negative tone there, have we not? And who's not guilty of that? Everybody in here. We're all guilty of it. To trust the Lord, God calls for everything. I remember working with clients, and I would use the illustration of a trapeze. And I said, what surrender means? And I said, we often want to be like the guy swinging on one. What do you think he's feeling right now? And the clients would all tell me, you know, he's freaking out. He's scared to death, you know. He's wanting to quit. And I said, yeah, if you don't freak out a little bit when God's calling you to completely surrender, you don't know what surrender is. You don't know what surrender is if it doesn't freak you out a little bit. But when he would go through that process and after his body caught up, he switched modalities. And let me just say that going from a me-centered universe to a God-centered universe is just like going from regular oxygen to liquid oxygen. It's switching modalities. And some of us are still hanging on in between, and we wonder why we freak out so much. Amen? Trust is hard because to trust means I must become vulnerable. But Paul didn't see vulnerability as weakness. He saw our weaknesses as true strengths. The second thing we see in this verse is trust the Lord with all your heart and what? Do not rely on your own understanding. Well, let me just say this. Having lived I'm from Northeast Texas and I lived other places and got to see other things, so I got to see other cultures. And when I moved back to Northeast Texas, let me just say there's some things that I really did miss, and then there's some things I didn't. If you've lived in Northeast Texas for longer than 20 minutes, you'll know that there's no shortage of opinions in this culture. Everybody knows everything about anything. I was returning, working on a fence, I was returning some stuff back to a hardware store this week, and the guy that was on a forklift began to, well, why would you return this? And began to, well, I think I'd do it this way. And I wanted to say, guy, all I need you to do is crank that thing up and get that off my trailer. I don't need your opinion about how you would do it unless you want to cut a check. Right? But everybody wants to be in everybody's business and tell you how you are doing it wrong and how they would do it better. Can I get a witness up in here? Y'all all know what I'm talking about. And sometimes we're so focused on what we think we know that we hadn't pondered all that we don't know. And someone says, you know, you went to school and you got 2 or 3 degrees and all this stuff. Man, you must know. Let me tell you what I learned, how much I don't know. That's what I learned. Now, did I learn a lot? You bet. Probably forgot a lot, too. But I know how much I don't know, and that's a whole lot. I believe the best teacher is always the best student. If you get to a place where you think you've arrived, you're an arrogant cuss. Right? If you think you've arrived, I don't care if you've done something for 100 years. I mean, and that's the truth of why a lot of preachers turn me off. Because it was hard to relate because I felt like, you know, they felt like, well, let me just impart some wisdom. Well, wisdom, according to the Scripture, doesn't come from any man. It comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from me. And any wise thing you hear me say, that's just God using my voice. Because if it was up to me, I could mess you all up. But how many of us first rely on what we know about something? How many of us fight hard to be open? Are you an open person? Are you open for advice? Catch this, criticisms? Are you open to that? How many of us refuse to be open? But what did Solomon say? The wisest person, except for the Lord, don't rely on who? You or me. You do something 100 years and somebody does the same thing for 20 years, do you think the person who's done it for 100 years can still learn something from the person who's only done it 20? Why? Because the 20-year experience may have experiences that are not contained in the 100-year experience, right? So every one of us needs to be open to learn and grow because guess what? There are no experts. When you see people get on TV, like the news, and they go, an expert in such and such, that's laughable. Because there are no experts. They're just people who have a lot of knowledge about stuff. Amen? We all have limitations and blind spots, every one of us. Right now, you're looking this way, and I'm looking that way. And together, we can see the whole room. But right now, I can see things that you can't see, and you can see things that I can't see. And that's why the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens each other. But how many times are we quick and judgmental about pointing other people's blind spots out rather than lovingly say, hey, I'm seeing something that maybe you don't see. And it's never to shame somebody. Amen? We should never use their blind spots to shame them, but to love them. Because God knows He loves us in the same way. I'm glad that God doesn't show all my blind spots as a point of shame, but rather as a point of growth and a point of love. We must all every morning say this, I don't know it all and I need to learn something today. Right? Because we all have limitations and we must turn to the God who sees everything. Live a life willing to accept our limitations. You know what? I'm good at some things and I'm bad at a whole lot of things. And so are you. And we must accept that our strengths may be someone else's weaknesses and their strengths may be our weaknesses, and hence why we need each other. But we fight so hard to be independent, do we not? Proverbs 2:6 says this, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. From the Lord. Number three, think about Him. What consumes most of your thoughts? Is it your dreams and well wishes, or is it to fight for another dollar? Is it to achieve your ambitions? Or do you think about the Lord? Biblical meditation is very different from what we would call Eastern meditation. Eastern meditation I actually find to be quite illogical, because Eastern meditation says to empty your mind. But how can you empty your mind? Someone says, hey, I think of nothing. People say, well, I see a black spot. Well, that ain't nothing. That's a black spot. Or I hear a hmm. Well, that's not nothing. That's a hmm. Right? Biblical meditation is not emptying your mind. It's refocusing your mind. You ever been on a computer and it lock up? Or your phone and lock up? And what do you got to do? It's called a reboot. Right? Sometimes that means turn it off and turn it back on so the system can reboot. That's what biblical meditation is spending time to let your mind and your heart reboot on the center of life, the Lord Jesus. That may mean getting out under a tree in the early morning, having a cup of coffee. It may be going to some retreat, going somewhere to get away so that you can reboot. But every one of us needs a reboot. Every one of us needs our batteries charged. Because all of us can run out. Redirect your thoughts to be holy, because it's very easy for my thoughts to be unholy. Is it easy for you? Let your mind wander in the wonder of God. And let me put that in a question form. When's the last time you let your mind wander in the wonder of God? Psalms 27:4 says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And I remember reading this line as a teenager, this next one, gazing on the beauty of the Lord. And many people say, man, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can see Jesus. But you can see Jesus already. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. We live in a culture that doesn't celebrate truth anymore. But wherever the truth is, Jesus is. And we can see the beauty of that. Amen? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Are your thoughts focused on Jesus? Now, I don't mean, you know, and we talked about prayer Wednesday night. And if you haven't come to our Wednesday night service, I hope you will. It's really laid back and it's a discussion about what we talked about on Sunday. When we talked about prayer, because last week was Hannah and praying to the Lord, and we focused on just prayer. And just what it means to biblically meditate and refocus our minds in prayer. It doesn't mean that we pray 5 hours a day. I grew up in a church, you know, we talked about, you know, I'd hear pastors go, man, they were so godly, they prayed 2 hours a day. And I'd sit there going, man, I struggled for 2 minutes. Right? And I felt so ungodly. It's not about the time. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Amen? And rebooting our, quote, life system onto the Lord. The fourth thing, the guide of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely or lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him or think about Him. And He will direct your path. Everybody in here is on some path. But is it the path that God's called you to be on? Or is it your life's ambition, but maybe has nothing to do with the Lord? Now, I don't know about you, but I can argue with the GPS system pretty easily. Can you? We were going to a bull bucking yesterday, and we got off at Granberry. And it said take a left, but there was no place to take a left. Well, it didn't consider there was an overpass. And I'm looking at this thing, and I turn here thinking I'm going to take a shortcut and get where I need to go. And at some point, you just have to stop and go, okay, I'm lost. And go back to the little blue line. Right? That's what you got to do. And I wish I could say it's harder than that in life when you get off track, but it really is just that simple. But it pokes on our pride. We got to stop and go back to the blue line. Because what happens is when we deviate over here, if we don't just stop and go back over here, we can go, well, I think I'll take a shortcut. And we end way up over here. Make sense? Anybody lived a life like that? Right? We've got to stop and trust the Lord again. Maybe that's some of you today, that you've deviated. And let me just say, however far you've deviated, you've never gone so far to even come close to the borders of grace. He will rescue you, but you got to be willing to turn back and get back to that blue line again. Allow God to set the boundaries of your life. Allow God to set your direction. Allow God to reel you back in when you've gone too far. Accept what God has for you. Now here's a big one. Let God set the pace of your life. Many of us miss God, not because God's there, but our life is going so fast that we don't check up. We got a little pup from Cole, half border collie, half Australian shepherd. And that dude runs at Mach 3 at the speed of light. The other day, he was going past. I was in between something. He was going past, and he passed the doorway there. And I hollered at him. And as he went by, he was like, hey there, I see you. But he was going so fast, he couldn't check up. We do that way with God sometimes, do we not? We're in a room, and God's in the room, and we're just at the speed of light, going so busy, trying to chase a dollar to get this, build that, do that, get this promotion, whatever, yada, yada, when it all ain't going to amount to anything. I used to say, you never have seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. And then I moved to Tennessee. And I kid you not, I got a picture somewhere of a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. And I told Trista, I said, that blows that joke. Now, obviously, it didn't do them a bit of good, but it was quite entertaining. Saw a lot of other things that I won't bring back to Texas. But let God set the pace of your life. It's easy to work for Jesus, but you know the hardest thing I found? It's hard to rest in Jesus. Does that make sense? It's easy to work for Jesus. Give us something to do. Give me some task. It's hard to rest in Jesus because resting relies on Him, and now we're back to trusting again. Does that make sense? There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians today who are doing the work of the Lord, but they have forgotten the Lord of that work. I'm going to say that again. There are many Christians today who are busy at doing the work of the Lord, but they have forgotten the Lord of that work. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes I wish it said be busy because it's easy to do that, but be still and know that I am God. And the last thing is this, is humility. What does it say? Don't consider yourself to be wise. Oh, man. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Be humble. And it says, fear the Lord. Now, that fear doesn't mean, oh, I'm scared of him. It means to stand in awe of him. You ever had a clear night and you looked up in the night sky and you saw the stars and you just went, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Anybody ever done that? It's that same kind of thing to stand in awe of. Now, if you can do that with stars in the sky, how much more should we do that with the one who created those stars in that sky? And to go, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. To be humble. And I think there's two sides of that humility coin that we have to remember. One, we need to have a proper view of God. And in light of that, have a proper view of ourself. But a prideful person will have a wrong view of God and a wrong view of themselves. So if you want to practice humility and begin to live in humility, you must have a right view of God, and which brings about a right view of who you are and who I am. But sometimes it's easy to think more of ourselves than we should. Or catch this, not enough of ourselves than we should. And I don't mean that in a prideful sense, but let me give you an illustration of false humility. God, you are created, whether you like it or not, or whether you accept it or not, you are created in the very image of the being of God. To walk around and act like you have no worth is false humility, aka pride. Does that make sense? It's like when someone is really talented at something, and they go, oh, no, I just, I ain't really that good at it. And you want to thump them in the nose and go, shut up. We all know you're good at it. Right? I mean, those are you who can weld. You've been doing it for 30 years. And I ain't really that good at it. But you are. Right? Or you ought to be after 30 years. But to say that you're not is false pride, or false humility, which is pride. You know, someone, I don't take compliments well. Do you do that? Do you struggle with that? And I used to say, when people come and go, man, I really like that song, all that. I ain't that good at it. And then the Lord, like, hello, I gave you a talent. You are pretty good at it. You made a living at it. Now, you may not be the best at it, but you're at least decent, right? Or at least I ought to be, because I've been doing it long enough. But here's the thing. But to walk around and go, oh, it's not really a talent. I ain't that good at it. I would be spitting on what God has blessed me with. And now when someone says, hey, I really enjoyed that song, or really like that, whatever it may be, I just say thank you, because I don't know what else to say. And if I say too much, it's probably going to come out prideful. Does that make sense? So just thank them on God's behalf for getting to use that talent within you. And that's what we have to remember. James 4, 6 through 8 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. God wants to come near you today. But you know the thing that pushes God away is not God. It's our pride. Amen? That's what pushes God away. You ever woke up and you said, I just don't feel like God's near me. I don't sense God's presence. And a lot of time it's because we're living in a state of pride. We're trying to call the shots, rule the roost, and do our thing. And God says, hey, I'm going to give you space to do that. But God has boundaries. Just because we may not, doesn't mean God don't. And God is not going to engage our stupidity when we're trying to be God. Does that make sense? Listen to C.S. Lewis. You knew it wouldn't be a full sermon until we had a little Lewis here. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Does that make sense? We think we have often been taught that humility is thinking less of ourselves. No. Our true identity is that every one of us in this room have been created in God's image. We just don't need to be the focus of that image because it's reflective of God and God alone. Amen. Now I want to close with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Do you know that your spiritual life has a huge impact on your physical life? And working after 10 years in a treatment world, I work with a lot of people who faced all sorts of different things. But let's take depression. Now, do I think there's can be a chemical issue there? Absolutely. But a lot of times I work with people who are fighting depression because they had a spiritual malady in their life. And they never even thought about the connection of those two. So if you're here and you struggle with depression, I'm not saying that it can't be a chemical issue. But I am saying that a lot of depression that people have has to do with spiritual things. Because think about it. When you were created for God and God alone and you're living for anything but God, and God is life, God is joy, God is holiness, how can you fight the feelings of depression when our hearts are not aligned with the Lord? Amen? So again, I'm not saying that it can't be a chemical thing, but I am saying that a lot of times we fight depression only chemically when there's a huge spiritual matter that may need to be addressed. And that when we come to that basic framework of living, trusting the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on ourselves, but in all our ways, thinking of him, he will direct our paths. And do not consider ourselves wise in our own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil, and this will give strength to our body and bones. I think that when we look at the basic foundation of Christian living, I think we find it in these few simple verses. Amen. I pray that each one of us comes to that simplicity of heart of what it means to trust Christ like a child. When he says go, we go. When he says jump, we say how high. Because we've put the time in. I'm a skeptic at heart. I've told you many times before. If you say whatever or da-da-da-da, I say whatever. That's why I went back to school. Because I would be prepared to leave the faith if it was not true. And the reason I stand before you today and plead with you to surrender as I struggle to surrender, because I believe that Jesus, in fact, is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God except through him. I think he is the reason for all reasons, and that when we align our hearts to him, meaning comes to our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for being here with us. I thank you for each one that's here, and I pray that you spoke to them. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us to trust you more. We're all a work in progress, and we know the end mandate is to trust you with everything, Lord. And whatever we're seesawing about, trying to negotiate with you, Lord, I just pray you bring it to the forethought of our minds, Lord, that we may surrender that to you, God. Because you're the boss, and we're to follow you as the chief shepherd. Help us, Lord, in our struggles. Thank you for your grace. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week.